fighting for America.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
Why are we so down with this game?
Team USA with the win. America beat Ghana last night in their first World Cup game.
Do we know where Ghana is?
Fighting for Idaho.
USA now plays Portugal on June 22nd.
I'd rather see a quarterback throw a touchdown or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns.
Fighting for you.
Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuza or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly? You can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. One of the most distinguished guests that we've had on this program, we're joined by Homer Hickam, best known for his memoir Rocket Boys, the popular movie October Sky. Mr. Hickam has been a coal miner, Vietnam combat veteran, scuba instructor, NASA engineer, and now a best-selling author from God's country, North Alabama, to the Treasure Valley here in Idaho. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Kevin. By the way, if you hear cat and dog sounds in the background, my wife and I volunteer every Friday morning to clean cat cages out for forgotten felines here in Huntsville, Alabama. So that will explain the odd sounds in the background.
Having spent 2 years of my life at WVNN in Athens, I have a great affinity for your hometown, sir, where you live now, from the Von Braun Center to Madison to Huntsville to Athens. What a great place that you're living in.
Yeah, I agree. North Alabama, we kind of like to keep it a little bit of a secret, but this is a nice place to live. Of course, I was born and raised in West Virginia, and I still get back up there from time to time. But we do love our home here in Rocket City, Huntsville, Alabama. By the way, I'd like to shout out to Chief Warrant Officer Gordon Williams, who lives in Boise and hopefully is listening in. And we served together in the 4th Infantry Division in Vietnam. And he was a great war hero in Vietnam and also in Korea. So, Chief, I hope you're having a good day.
And I hope you're listening, Chief. So that's a lot of trouble if you're not. But, you know, I'll tell you, your area, sir, having lived in both, this area very similar, except we don't have the rockets everywhere. But let's talk a little bit about your love of space, your new book, Crater True Blood, and has the country lost its zeal to explore something that has mesmerized you for years, space?
Yeah, it has a little bit. And, you know, as a country, I think we're looking inward an awful lot and worrying about social programs and all that, which, of course, we need to do, and the poor people. But at the same time, in order to be a great country, you have to do great things. And we think naturally here in Huntsville, and hopefully a lot of folks are around the country, that we really ought to be doing more in space in a more organized way. Right now, I don't think NASA really knows, it doesn't get good direction, so it doesn't really know what it should be doing, and so it's spinning its wheels an awful lot. We're real happy that there are some commercial companies like SpaceX, headed up by Elon Musk, who is very organized and knows what it wants to do, but ultimately for the American people, I think NASA has to step up, figure it out, and let's get some good leadership, and let's go back to the moon.
Well,
and do these things that we want to do. You know?
Right. And by the way, Huntsville, or as they pronounce it there, Huntsville, is the home of it really left an impression on me there, is the home of Space Camp, where kids from across the country get to go and learn about space and learn about science.
Well, it sure is, Kevin. As a matter of fact, I'm on the board for Space Camp. And right now, I mean, the summertime is our busiest time, and we've got hundreds of kids and adults, teachers, and that come in here during the summer, but also all year round. I hope folks will go out and look at spacecamp.com and teachers and see about coming here and sending their kids here, because it's really amazing that a lot of the kids we get, I think, are picked on at school because they're kind of nerdy and they are they don't feel like they're part of the group. And they come here and all of a sudden they're with their peers, and it's just amazing to see them. Just they become bright lights, and they carry that back to their schools, and they in a lot of ways it helps them have a good life. We've had kids who've gone on to become astronauts, but all kinds of leaders across the country. It doesn't have to be in space, but space camp by all means. Let's try to get a lot of folks from Boise to come here.
They would love it. It's awesome. I've been to the museum several times, and there's such a dynamic there, and I think it's infectious when you have these big believers, and then we see what we've done as far as the Rockets and Wernher von Braun and just what we were, which would give us a great glimpse of what we could be again, and even bigger considering the technology we had during the space race. We have more computing chips in our phone now. Could you imagine if we had that same effort today?
Yeah, and the main thing is to try to get focused, and NASA has lost its focus. It doesn't get good leadership from the top on down, so NASA's got to figure out what it wants to do and go out and sell that to the American public. And that's one of the reasons, I've known for writing Rocket Boys and then the movie October Sky, and I apologize for not actually being Jake Gyllenhaal, by the way. But I've written a lot of books about a lot of different things. I'm kind of well known for writing the World War II series, Josh Thurlow. But it's come to me that we need to do something to energize young people in space and science. So that's why I've written this trilogy of books about this young man named Crater Trueblood, who lives on the moon 100 years from now. And they are entertaining books that parents, grandparents, teachers should think about getting these for their children ages 10 through 18. Adults like them too, but I wrote them for young adults who I think maybe it might turn them on to space and science, because they enjoy meeting Crater and all the folks that he deals with. And also I sneak in a little bit about responsibility and honor and duty and all of these attributes that the kids need to be kind of told about, and telling it in an entertaining way is the best way that I have to try to get out to kids and let them know about all the engineers and scientists I know lead great lives. They have fun lives because they're up every morning and they have things to do that are important. And so I'm hoping that we can peel off some of these kids and get them into the sciences.
What I don't understand is kids are so into technology today, sir. It would seem obvious to me that they would be a natural to jump into the sciences, to jump into the technology, because they live on these computers where you were all about the slide rule.
Well, they're into using technology, but are they into actually learning how the technology works? And to me, of course, that's the most fascinating part of technology. How does this thing work? I mean, what magic is it that makes it work? It's not magic. It is technology. And if I can write some books, that gets Crater Trueblood. He starts as a 12-year-old working in the helium-3 mines on the moon, and we watch him over this three-book trilogy grow to 21. He is a natural engineer, and so everything he does, he kind of figures out how things work through his engineering ability. And so I hope to get kids interested in that and say, oh, that sounds like fun. I'd like to do that. I'd like to learn that. And ultimately, why are we here? We're here to learn things and then take what we learn and for the benefit of all mankind, just as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had on the Apollo limb lander. That's why we do these things.
Mr. Hickam with us here, Homer Hickam at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. I got to ask you about a couple programs. What about Skylab? What did you think of Skylab?
Well, Skylab was our first space station. As a matter of fact, we have the engineering model of Skylab at the Space and Rocket Center, which is where Space Camp is here in Huntsville, Alabama. It was managed out of Huntsville. The cool thing about Skylab to me was that it lost its solar panels on the way up and had our astronauts had to go up and fix it, sort of like the Hubble Space Telescope later on. And all that work was done in a place that I spent a lot of time when I worked for NASA, and that's a big underwater tank called the Neutral Buoyancy Simulator. So that was our first space station, and we learned an awful lot about it, and it ultimately led into Space Lab and then now the International Space Station.
What was it like working in that that buoyancy place?
Well, it was fascinating. I didn't start working for NASA until 1981, which was the shuttle era, so I missed Skylab, but I was there for the Hubble Space Telescope when we realized it was nearsighted. We knew, oh, this is going to be fun because we're going to have to go up and fix this plane thing. And so I ended up spending dozens of hours in the suit underwater trying to figure out how we would go fix it. And then Story Musgrave and Kathy Thornton and that crew came in to the neutral buoyancy simulator, and we trained them. Literally, we were underwater for hundreds and hundreds of hours trying to figure out how we'd go up and fix the Hubble. I think that turned out to be NASA's finest hour since Apollo, was the ability for the shuttle to go up and dock with the Hubble Space Telescope, and then for our crews to actually go out and fix this very complex and very delicate machine. And now the knowledge that we've gotten from Hubble, you can attribute that right back to the engineers who figured out how to go up there and fix it, the brave astronauts who actually did it, and our old water tank in Huntsville.
Well, let's continue on with a stroll down memory lane, and then we'll get to the shuttle program. I'm amazed at the technology, and a lot of people maybe under 35 or maybe under 30 don't understand the Voyager program. I remember as a little boy, much less of a passion that you have for space, but just being amazed at these little tiny satellites with, couldn't even describe the technology, that have journeyed now out of our solar system, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2.
Yeah, I mean, they have the energy of like a light bulb. They're so far out now that they're still talking to us. Amazingly, yeah. They are moving out now into the outer solar system, into the Oort cloud. And a lot of people say, well, they've already left the solar system, but they're still in the debris field left over from the creation of our solar system. But we have some other robotic systems out there. But New Horizon next year will arrive at Pluto, and which is still a, as far as I'm concerned, it's still a planet and always will be.
I was going to ask you that follow-up question on that. I'm glad.
It's going to be at Pluto and its moon, Charon, and we're going to learn an awful lot of new things about this. It wouldn't surprise me once we have a look at Pluto that we'll probably upgrade it again to a planet. It can be I don't care if they can call it a dwarf planet or a mini planet, but it's not just an asteroid floating out there. It is a world. And it's one that, to me, I can't believe it. As a kid, look, I was born in 1943, and I grew up reading a lot of science fiction, and I couldn't imagine that I would live in the age where we would actually have a robotic probe to Pluto, and it's going to send us back pictures, and we're going to see what it looks like. And we've looked at all these worlds like Titan and Europa. To me, they're fascinating, in a lot of ways more fascinating than Mars. Titan has oceans of methane. Europa probably has a water ocean underneath the several miles of ice. To me, those worlds need exploring as well. So there's a lot of things that NASA could do that it's not doing. As I said, it's spinning a lot of wheels, and the engineers that work for NASA are very frustrated because they don't have good direction. And ultimately, it's up to the American people to say, hey, we want to do this. We're interested. And I actually think the American people are behind the space program. They're just not – they're kind of spread out, and they're not very vocal, and they need to get more vocal and say, hey, we want a real space program. And, again, that's why I've written these Crater True Blood books, and I hope that that parents and grandparents and teachers will – we'll kind of let their kids know about them and give them as gifts. And they can find those all out, by the way, on homerhickam.com.
Is it because we just became so used to the shuttle and it was more like a bus trip than the big trips to the moon or a possible trip to Mars that perhaps we our appreciation for space and the sacrifice and the engineering brilliance that made that happen has gone away?
Yeah, I don't think NASA did a very good job during the shuttle program of expressing and carrying across the excitement. Those of us who were in the program, I spent some years training the first Japanese astronauts. We flew them on Space Lab J, and that was all very exciting for those of us who were inside the agency, but we did a really poor job of letting the American people know about these exciting things that we were doing during the shuttle program. So now here we are post-shuttle. What are we going to do next? Nobody really knows. They talk about this and that. Here at Marshall, they're building a great big rocket called the SLS, the Space Launch System. But it has no mission. And so until it does, the American people are not going to care. And it's why I'm really excited about Elon Musk and the SpaceX. They're doing some very dramatic things, having their rockets completely reusable, bringing them back, having them land tail first, just like they used to do and with Buck Rogers and Tom Corbett and the space cadets and all that kind of thing. I love what they're doing. I think NASA needs to get busy building. We don't need to build chemical rockets anymore. We know how to do that. What NASA needs to do is to start building some big bad rockets using nuclear energy or fusion energy or ion energy, and let the commercial companies build the chemical rockets.
Mr. Hickam, can you stand by for a moment?
Absolutely.
All right, more coming up at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
I want to be a spaceman. That's what I want to be.
We are still a leader in space exploration, but frankly, I have been pushing NASA to revamp its vision.
I know you and me don't exactly see eye to eye on certain things, but he isn't my hero.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Best-selling author Homer Hickam with us at 580KIDO. Mr. Hickam, we go to the mission to Mars. What do you make of that, and do we have to go back to the moon first?
Well, I'm a big believer in going back to the moon and actually living there. There are a lot of resources on the moon, that such as helium-3, which turns out to be the perfect fuel for fusion reactors, which we've made huge strides in that technology just recently. The moon has such rare earths as materials such as titanium. We also believe that probably we've had asteroids made of pure gold hit the moon. So there are a lot of assets and resources on the moon. Plus, it's a perfect place to put a big telescope on the far side where we can look out across the universe and perhaps image other planets and see if they've got an atmosphere and oceans on. And right now we can infer it, but we can't really see them. And so the moon, to me, is a more fascinating place to go to send people than Mars. Mars, we're doing fine with robots and so on, and it's an interesting planet, but it's very dry, and it also, we can't breathe the atmosphere. So for me, the moon is easily accessible. It's only a 250,000 miles away, and we can get up there in a couple of days. And to me, that's where we ought to start with our focus. President Obama says that he wanted NASA to give a new vision. Well, I'm sorry, NASA won't do it. NASA's a federal agency, and it's waiting for direction from the top. A lot of us folks out here are trying to give NASA a vision, but first they have to listen, and right now they're not listening.
Mr. Hickam, what about all that debris up there? Is there anything that we can do in the atmosphere so it doesn't hurt the Soyuz or the SpaceX or the space station? We got a bunch of junk up there.
Yeah, all that space junk that's up there. Yeah, there have been several proposals of ways to go up there and get the space junk out of the way. Space is a really big place. So, but there are favorite parking spots for satellites in geosynchronous orbit and so on. For our communications satellites, that we really don't want a lot of space debris. And also at around 250 miles where we tend to orbit our space stations. So, we need to work on that for what's already up there. But more importantly, probably now, is to design satellites that don't come apart. so easily. And there are ways of doing that. We're trying, we have that technology, and so we're trying to remember that when we build the new satellites, and also give the Chinese and everybody else this technology so that they will also do the same thing. The Chinese and the Russians are the prime offenders in the space junk. They send their satellites up there without any kind of protection. After a while, there's extra fuel, propellant inside these things. Those tanks get hot. They tear apart. They literally explode, and that's what's causing most of the debris. It's not us. It's the Russians and the Chinese.
Sir Ikem, finally, why go into writing? I mean, you've done so much. What was the appeal of that? And on your website, homerhickam.com, you have advice for writers. Everybody has a story in them. Why write when you've already done everything?
Well, I would have probably, if it hadn't been for Sputnik and me getting into the space business and building rockets, I would have probably become an English professor. That was really my orientation as a kid, was reading and writing. So I simply came back to my original roots in a lot of ways. But when I worked for NASA, before I wrote Rocket Boys and October Sky and all that, I had a best-selling book called Torpedo Junction about, of all things, the German U-boats up and down the East Coast. So writing and rockets, that's kind of my thing. And so now with this new series, I get to do both in a way.
Well, and we want to thank you for your service in Vietnam, and thank you for making yourself available. You know, I've read your works, and again, knowing about Huntsville and the VBC and all that, it's great to talk to somebody from there.
Well, same here, Kevin. Come back. We missed you. Come on back to Huntsville and bring some folks. And I don't know if you've been out here since we had the big Saturn V put inside in the Davidson Hall, and we also have an Apollo 16. Moon capsule, and of course Space Camp and Space Academy for kids 10 through 18 years old, and Adult Space Academy as well. So spacecamp.com is where you look for all that, and for my books it's homerhickam.com, and we appreciate parents and grandparents who might want to take a look at the Creator True Blood books with the idea of giving them as gifts to kids who might need just a little bit of push towards science and space.
And you're in the right place. I mean, when you drive across the state, there's a big rocket. When you go into the airport, it's all about space and certainly the sacrifices. And, you know, it brings back so many memories. So we are urging people. And, yes, Mr. Ikem, I am going to get back there. And just a beautiful place. And I'll bring some folks with me.
I wish you would. And every year, the Space and Rocket Center, that's where Space Camp is, gets better and better. And so if you haven't been back for a few years, it's all changed with a lot more displays and so on. And we're trying to make it better every year.
Do you still have the SR-71 outside?
It is. And that's one of the things that we hope to do to make that a better display as well. It's just sitting out there. And we don't like the fact that it's just sitting out in the rain and everything. So we're going to try to get it fixed and fixed up and better displayed. And that's why we brought the Saturn V inside. That's with a real functional Saturn V left over from the Apollo glory days. And it was sitting outside the raccoon for building nests in and everything else. So we were able to build a great big building now and put the Saturn V inside and display it in all its glory. It's just amazing to see, really. And so we just try to keep things going. And in a lot of ways, Huntsville, we have such a great heritage here at Rocket City, USA, and we love to have guests. And people, like I say, we kind of kept a little bit of secret, and maybe we need to stop that because it is a beautiful area, not only to come visit, but to live.
You're right about that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, take care. There you have it. Bye-bye. Homer Ikem with us. What a remarkable man. By the way, not only author, not only engineer, but received the Bronze Star for his service in Vietnam. Outstanding. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, it's been a while since we've gotten together. We've had some great guests here, but we always appreciate the quality time between you, me, Tim, Willie, and Billy. Phone number is here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, you know, there's a variety of issues to talk about, particularly involving Iraq, Afghanistan. what's going on the border and everything else. But I thought I would do something a little different, something that I haven't really ever done here. And that's air an interview that happened between Laura Ingraham from Fox News and Congressman Labrador. And in it, they're talking about immigration. And it's a fascinating blow-by-blow conversation that, well, we'll get your thoughts on it here, pertaining to where Congressman Labrador stands on immigration.
So many people out there like you, and I've always liked you. They hear Raul Labrador, wait a second, why is he spending 1 minute talking about what we should
because
do for illegal immigrants?
Asked the question.
No, I'm talking about your I have five articles in front of me about your points that you've made consistently on guest workers, foreign workers, immigration reform. And so my point here is that we have this fair pledge out there. I know you know what it is, but will
Correct.
You today say that you will not engage in any of this push for foreign workers or guest workers or an immigration reform pathway while Barack Obama is president? Will you agree to those principles?
No, I will not, Laura. I think we need to take care
first of the American people. So you're where Cantor is, because he won't either.
No. I'm very different than Eric Cantor. I wouldn't have been talking about. I have made it very clear for the last year that we shouldn't even have a bill for immigration reform in the House of Representatives. I was the first one who said that. I said that publicly. If you look back to when we had our conference at the beginning of the year, I said that this is not the right time for us to do it. We need to have a Senate that we can work with. We need to do the things according to what our Americans want. You know, my first concern is with Americans. It's not
right,
with
their wages
what
are flatlining
want.
And their standard of living is deteriorating, yet you want to bring in more guest workers and foreign workers into the country. Why?
Because I actually think
ouch.
If we do it the right way, we can actually grow the economy. If
so
you
the,
look at
so
Canada,
the Americans
Canada,
are too lazy.
Example,
they're not creating any jobs. We just need foreign workers.
No.
Have you seen these people coming into the country? They're going to be creating the new Googles out there. Are you kidding me?
Well, I think if we have the right foreign workers, absolutely. That's what Canada just did. Canada was able to have high-skilled workers, and they actually surpassed the United States just recently in per capita income. Because
right.
They have
Stephen
have
Harper
good...
running Canada, not Barack Obama. And you all spend all this time saying Barack Obama, you can't trust him, and he's lawless. And then you say, well, as long as we do it the right way. What has he done the right way?
He hasn't done anything the right way. And that's why I said we shouldn't be doing anything right now.
So are you closer, just so people get it, and again, this is someone I agree with on a whole host of issues, Raul Labrador. You know that, and Raul, you've come on our show so many times.
Oh,
I have
absolutely.
An enormous amount
you
of respect
for you.
You
and I disagree. Even on this issue, we disagree on 2% of the issue.
Yeah, but on this point, are you closer to so you won't sign the Fair Pledge, even though you say you don't want to work on immigration reform as long as Obama's in office. So you won't sign the Fair Pledge, which says no more guest workers, no more legal immigration, no more immigration reform. You won't sign that.
I believe in legal immigration, Laura.
Right.
I'm not against legal immigration.
But bringing more people into the country at a time where we have such critically bad numbers on employment. I'm not talking about bringing in legal immigrants at any point in the future. I'm just saying lots of legal immigrants in terms of foreign workers, especially when we have such bad unemployment. Of course, I'm for our benefit. It's not just supposed to be because we want to do it for the heck of it. It's supposed to be for the people's benefit.
It should only be for our benefit. So that's why I'm not going to sign a pledge that if I can craft a bill that actually does it for the benefit of the American people, then I've signed a pledge that I can't do anything
okay,
for the
so
next
the,
2 years.
So there you have it. Now, as we said, incredibly popular. He's at the height of his power right now. But you take a look at and listen to the comments there. And Laura Ingraham had the same concerns that Kevin Miller has had, that Senator Sessions has had. And really everyone that has a kid or a grandkid or a niece or a nephew in this country today, we listen to the stories of what's going on the border, lawlessness, we're being invaded, nothing's being done, and what type of job market are your kids, your grandkids going to have today? We can't even employ who we have, and we have folks, and thankfully to Mark Kevorkian and others, and Mr. Mellum, Ira Mellum yesterday, that have exposed the fallacy of the guest worker program. I never bought the guest worker program. I never bought the idea that there aren't exceptional young people in America today, smart, brilliant, intelligent, IT folks. But we have big business. And you as a small business person should be very concerned. I'm sure you are. You have big business, the oligarchs, running the country, the Chamber of Commerce, dictating to the Republicans, if you want our money, you will legalize the illegals. Why? Because it's cheap labor. Other big companies want the foreign workers to come in because the foreign workers will not have the same rights as an American, will not have the same benefits as an American, and the foreign workers better do as they say. I'm not kidding. This is happening all over the place, or they'll be shipped back. And if you're from one of these third world countries and you get a chance to work in the United States of America, to live in America, to marry an American, to become an American, we can't blame you for trying to do that. But both parties are frauds. They're frauds with this. You know, and it was George Bush the same way, where we were talking about, well, we've got to close the borders first. We're going to have a new deal. Heck, we had an old deal that the borders were supposed to be secured. We had another deal, and that hasn't happened. So this time, we really mean it. This time, we're going to put the National Guard back on the border. This time, we're going to stop the drug lords from coming over into this country. You know, when did we fall out of love with being an American? And this is one issue where I disagree with Congressman Labrador on. The border needs to be shut. Oh, you can't do that because that's insensitive. Well, Mexico does it. Canada does it. China does it. The border needs to be shut. I agree with the Center for Immigration Studies. There should be a moratorium not only on illegal, but legal immigration. Why? So they can assimilate. Look at the enclaves that we have here. I don't know about you, and I don't care how long you've lived here. I find it insulting that people don't speak English. Oh, that's an antiquated old white guy thing. I'm so sick and tired of people picking on old white people. The old white people did pretty good. Hell, you can't say that. That's racially insensitive. I can say that. I mean, really, what country do you want to live in? The country that is represented here in Idaho? Or perhaps Brazil? Because that's what's happening with the lawlessness. That's what's happening with these guest worker programs. There is no need, and no one besides Patrick Joseph Buchanan and these immigration folks, and yours truly here in Idaho, have enough guts to say this is wrong. And by the way, Laura Ingraham, bravo for her. Pat, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Kevin. What about all these people who, able-bodied people who are on welfare? Don't tell me they can't go out and work in the fields. We don't need to import anyone. I had a friend whose husband walked out on her. This is years ago. And she had no money, nothing. She and her five kids went out in California and picked tomatoes. And there's no reason that somebody who's been collecting unemployment for a couple of years and can't find a perfect job, or people who are on welfare who are able-bodied and run into Jackson's and buying cheese curls and Pepsi with their food stamps, can't get out and do stuff. We don't need to import any labor.
I would agree, Pat. Thank you for the call and your great story.
Okay.
All right, coming up next, 580-5436, the crisis on the border, and your thoughts on Laura Ingraham versus Congressman Labrador. 580-5436, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We go to the bell of the ball of the Gem State Patriot, Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm living the dream.
It sounds like you're living the dream. You're not an immigrant, are you?
No, I'm a native-born American.
I was just kind of checking. You know, when you go back, you can't solve this immigration problem without closing the borders. And the problem is we have a president in power has no desire to shut the borders, but instead basically rolls out the welcome mat to anyone that wishes to come to America. He offers free food, free medical, free housing. My God, it's a dream come true for those who have been in poverty for generations. You know, this all began back in the migrant worker program many years ago when the farmers complained they couldn't get anyone to pick their crops. It's only because they didn't pay enough money to find workers in our country. When you bring people in from another country, you change the economy. And they have changed the economy. They've kept the wage scales low. They're not willing to pay for that. They, you know, this all gets to bigger and bigger profits. It all becomes big business. And you're right, it is big business. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, birthday boy.
Birthday boy, okay. 69 now.
We'll see you.
Have a good day.
All right, Tea Party Bob, our great friend. Quickly to David in Boise at 580KIDO. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, this question is for Kevin Miller. I'd like to know why Raul Labrador is proposing legislation that illegal workers working in the United States for electronic industries will face a lesser penalty.
Well, I can't really speak for him, but I will say this for Congressman Labrador. This is Kevin Miller, but I will tell you that from what I understand, he believes that we need more guest workers for the technological fields.
Well, if they're illegal aliens, what the heck are they doing working for high-tech agencies to begin with?
That is a great way to end the program. You are correct, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Now, again, in fairness to Congressman Labrador, I don't know if that is, statement is true, so I will say allegedly, but he is for, as you heard, a guest worker program. We'll investigate that and get back to you. I'm sure Tea Party Bob is already researching it. Quickly to traffic at 580. Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, the nonstop fun frivolity doesn't end here. Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, Sean Hannity, Brian Wiley, Alex Jones. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 to 8. Birthday boy, Tea Party Bob, Patriot Ray, who knows? Live local talk about the issues that impact you. Good day. God bless. As always, my friends, keep the faith.